thank you all for coming out this evening to our Good Friday service. I'm Andrea, and I'm going to be leading us in a time of worship. And then later, Ray is going to be bringing us God's word. And we're also going to be sharing in communion with one another. So last Friday, I think it was, I went over to Pulse, our youth group. And I was trying to explain to them what Easter meant to me and how much I just love Easter. I get really excited about Easter. Obviously, it's a really big date in the Christian calendar. And I was explaining how I love coming on Easter Sunday. I find it so joyous. It's just such an amazing Sunday. And I decorate my house, and I love chocolate. And I don't actually like hot cross buns until I discovered the chocolate and salted caramel ones, where I've had two of them today. But yeah, I just love all things Easter. It's always been really special to me. But Good Friday, I've always found a bit, I don't know about if it's just me, but I've always found a bit odd. I find myself a bit wobbly on Good Friday. I don't know whether that is just me. I think I feel quite sad on Good Friday, and I reflect a lot, and I know what's to come. Like, we all know Sunday's coming. We know what's happened. But I do always feel a bit wobbly on Good Friday, and I never really know where to put myself, sort of thing. So I thought what we'd do is we'd just have a bit of time to sit and just to reflect on what today means to us, means to you individually, and just to get our thoughts together, really. And I'll say a prayer as we sit quietly so we can just reflect on today. So let's just sit and be. Father, we come together this evening to reflect on what Good Friday means for us. Christ suffered the most horrible, painful, and inhumane death on the cross. He took the punishment for all of our sins all at once. He died so that we may live. He was tried. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. He became sin for us. He took all the blame, all our wrongdoings, all our bitter thoughts, all our evil deeds. It's hard to comprehend that love. Our names are written in his wounds. Through his suffering, we are free. So we reflect today, we kind of mourn today, we bow our heads, we remember, we can only try to express our thanks. We don't have enough words to express these feelings and thoughts for this ultimate sacrifice. But we know we have Easter Sunday. We know you cried, "It is finished. Death is crushed to death." We have hope. We have forgiveness because Christ has conquered death. The power of the cross, Son of God slain for us. What a love. What a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom, I am free. We're now going to stand and sing. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophet, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb has conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son.
From him you came, helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve. And give your life that we may live. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. There in the garden of tears, my heavy chose to bear, his heart with sorrow was torn. Yet not my will, but yours, he said. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, two cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. So let us learn how to serve, and in our others need to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, a daily offering of worship to the servant king.
Please take a seat. Let's just pray. This is our God, the servant king, and he calls us now to follow him. As we reflect on Good Friday, as we reflect on Easter, Father, we pray for hearts to be opened, for minds to understand, for people to believe. We thank you for Easter and everything it means. We thank you for Jesus. We just pray for Ray as he comes now to bring your word, Father. that this word will be of you. And in all the preparation that he has done this week, Lord, it is of you. Amen.
I've been practicing good evening. Keep saying good morning. I don't know why. Strange, isn't it? But there we go. So I thought I'd look at the words of Jesus on the cross. And it's Good Friday. Jesus has been trialed, flogged, and mocked. He's been nailed to the cross and lifted up. And while on the cross, there are seven statements he makes. And the Hebrews see seven as perfection. So that is good. Seven is a perfect number. So we're going to briefly look at each one of these. Yes, that does mean I've got a seven-point sermon, all right? So the first one, there we go. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And for me, perhaps, the most awesome words that our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, has ever said. And this is the first statement that he makes. The cross is lifted up and he says these words. This statement he makes is not only for those who have carried out the injustice, the Jewish religious leaders, the false witnesses, Pontius Pilate, the Roman soldiers, Herod Antipas, betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter. But also, it is for each one of us. He went to the cross to atone for our sins. It was God's salvation plan. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. And it was our sin that was the reason why he came to earth to die for each one of us. Romans 5, we read, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And Jesus is in fact interceding on our behalf to the Father, pleading for our forgiveness. This perfect, spotless Lamb of God has become the eternal sacrifice. He is now interceding for us as a high priest. In Hebrews 7 says this, he is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart for sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. And like those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as a sacrifice for the people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made the perfect high priest forever. I find it incredible that Jesus on the cross started interceding for me, started interceding for us. Then number two, and Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Salvation belongs to the Lord. John 23, we read, The crowd watched and the legions scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." The one thing that Jesus could not do was to save himself. He had prayed in the garden, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Jesus' mission was to come and save the lost. He came to save the lost of people like me and you. If he had saved himself, he wouldn't have been able to save us. And if you recall the Abraham and Isaac story, Yahweh saved Isaac from being sacrificed. But Yahweh could not save his own son. He was the sacrificial Lamb of God. So we have in our mind's eye those picture of three crosses with Christ in the middle and a thief on either side. And one carried on mocking, but the other criminal protested. "Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom." There are choices that we have. You can carry on mocking Christ and not believing in him. You may not believe that he is the Son of God. Or you can recognize that Jesus is God's one and only Son, that everyone who believes on him will not perish but have eternal life. God gave us this man faith in his heart to believe. He turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." This man whose life was nearly over turns to Jesus. And Jesus gives him more than he could ever have dreamed of. "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus had no doubt about where he was going. He was confident and he knew. And in this statement, it is something to know that Christ our Lord and Saviour, and we can cling to that as assurance ourselves, that when we die, we will be in paradise with Jesus. This earthly journey would soon be over, but now he had the joy of knowing he was going to spend eternity with Jesus. I can't help but think of the words of Joshua, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Do you wake up to that every morning? And the reply is, "As for me and my family, we will serve," or "we will choose the Lord." So the next one. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciples he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus looked down from the cross and he saw those who mocked him. But he also saw a small group of people who knew him well. His mother's sister, Mary Magdalene, and another Mary, the wife of Cleopas. Standing next to Mary, Jesus saw the only disciple that was there, the disciple John, the disciple Jesus loved. We now see the compassionate and relational side of Jesus. Nearing death and in pain, he sees his mother and he remembers his family, his family responsibilities. He requests that the only disciple present was to look after his mother. As the eldest son, he would have looked after his mother after the death of Joseph, his earthly father, had passed away. Normally, the next male sibling would take over from him. But if you recall, in Matthew, he says this, "And as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they want to speak to you.' And Jesus asked, 'Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?' Then he pointed to his disciples and said, 'Look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" Jesus' brothers, through Mary and Joseph, at this time did not believe in Christ, and they will after the resurrection. And he turns to John and puts his mother in his care, and John takes Mary to be his own mother. And we shouldn't be surprised, as Jesus was all about relationships, and Jesus is still about relationship today. When we follow Jesus, we've become part of a new family. We have a new father who loves us and cares for us. A brother who died for us. We are sons and heirs, accepted into his family. We join the millions who are brothers and sisters in his family. Number four. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Ele, ele, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" I think we come to the toughest time for Jesus, the time that God the Father abandoned him. When darkness fell in the day, in the daytime, the Jews used this as a symbol of God's judgment. And I have always been taught that all the sin of the world was placed upon Jesus. This is the one time the perfect Lamb of God was made sin for us. And God had to turn away. God could not look at the sin, and he turned his face away. And Jesus knew the Father had left him. No longer could he feel the presence of Yahweh. Here Jesus cries out the opening lines of Psalm 22. And if we had time, we could have gone through the whole of the psalm and unlocked this prophetic psalm. So take some time to read it, and you will read about Jesus being mocked, his mouth was dry, his hands and feet pierced, and about his bones, his garments being gambled away. The cup was not removed from him. Jesus was obedient to death, and we should be ever grateful for this separation for our sakes. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 says this, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering of our sin, that we would be made right with God through Christ." You see, the greatest pain that Jesus endured had nothing to do with the physical pain he went through, awful as it was, but the pain that he suffered greatly was the separation from his Father. Jesus was willing to do this, and we can be assured that this separation will never happen to us. We will never be separated from God the Father. "I will never leave you or forsake you" is a promise that Christ sealed on the cross. No matter what the devil slings at you, God will always be there for us. Number five, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. Psalm 22 from the Passion Bible says this, I am so thirsty and parched, my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And we now see the human side of Christ hanging on the cross. And what he had endured the night before, he is now dehydrated and needs a drink. So they offered him a wine vinegar. And we see scripture fulfilled. But there's a little bit more to this. And if you study the word of the God, sometimes you need to look at cross references and bounce around. A jar of sour wine was sitting there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. In Exodus, we read this. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, go, pick out a lamb or a young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin. Then take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top of the sides of the door frames of your houses. And no one may go out through the door until morning. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top of the sides of the door frames, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. Hyssop, unless you were looking at it, is a throwaway word. But you can now see the relevance why John just didn't say it was a branch. He actually took time and explained it was a branch from the hyssop tree. I don't know if any of those who were standing around and knew their Hebrew scriptures well and would have seen the relevance. Now Jesus, the Passover lamb, it's his blood that cleanses me. Just as the angel passed over Egypt, those who had sprinkled the lamb's blood using the hyssop did not die. Now the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, that whoever believes in him should never die. The branch of the hyssop was used. The hyssop was a sign of purification. In Psalm 51, David says to the Lord Yahweh, create in me a pure heart, Lord. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Jesus going to the cross brings the whole Bible together. Scripture is fulfilled, and it shows you God's salvation's plan from beginning to end. Number six, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished isn't the end, because so much was completed on the cross. He had glorified God with his life, from his birth as a baby in human form, doing God's work. The betrayal, and then the trials, and now death on a cross. It is now all done. He has given us redemption from our sins, past, present, and future. The eternal sacrifice is complete. The Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. The Old Covenant is finished. Sin is defeated, paving a way for us to defeat sin as well. And number seven, then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. 6 hours Jesus endured the cross. Most people haven't got the energy or the breath to speak at this stage. He quotes in Psalm 31, verse 5. He now chooses the time to die. He volunteers his life into his Father's hand. He explained it to his disciples in John 10. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. And he will take his life back up on Easter Sunday, and we look forward in rejoicing with him. Amen. Thank you. I think we're going to sing again. Yeah. So before we come to communion, we will sing this song, and then we'll come to communion. I'll find my guitar. So Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." I'm just going to pray for the bread. Father, as we have looked at what it was like for you on the cross, Lord, we cannot even attempt to realize the pain and the suffering you went through. But Lord, in a way we rejoice because you went to the cross for each one of us. And you went to the cross so that we may be free. You went to the cross and Satan was defeated. But Lord, you went to the cross for each one of us. And we say, hallelujah, what a saviour. So Jesus took the bread and ate it. And so I've got four people, I believe, to come and do this. I've got an Ian, I've got four. Excellent. Thank you. So if you take the bread and eat as you get it, and then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Father God, we realise what a sacrifice it was for you to send your Son, whose blood was spilt for each one of us. His blood that washes us whiter than snow. Amen. Take the cup and hold on to it, and we'll drink together. Oh, I've got two there, I think. Have I? No, one. I'll take that. There we are, Ian. Thank you. drink together, and we can all say, hallelujah, what a saviour. Amen. What Good Friday does, it projects us into Easter Sunday and so much to look forward to. So we're going to close this service by singing, Oh, to See the Dawn.
For us, took the blame.
So, Lord, we look forward to Sunday, and we look forward to greet a risen Saviour. Amen.